Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you to Aviva Trattoria for the incredible spread. I just had a slice of pizza and I folded it a la Ron DeSantis. So I might be canceled within minutes. I tweeted out the photo, Jared. This might be the end of my political career as we know it. I'll keep you guys posted on that. What I want to talk about a little bit here is the Biden administration. Today we got a real, real, real lesson in spin. They're spinning this terrible jobs report as a way to say, not only are we doing a great job, but you need us to do more of this great job. Our work is far from done. And as scary as that is, the really scary part for all my listeners out there is that we only got through today. I have cuts from yesterday. And normally, you know, the cuts hit a certain expiration date and I go, eh, we can move on from it. But I'm looking at some of these and I'm like, I might have to play them. I just might have to, because he's always out there talking about tax cuts and jobs and, you know, spewing numbers out, 200 million, 20 million, 100,000, you know, and soon, you know, who really cares? Because they're all fuzzy math, as I said before. But I really do want to get into what he said yesterday, because I think it's almost, Jared, I think there's a beauty to playing it today after we know what some of his genius ideas bring.
You got to let it breathe. It's like a fine bottle of wine. You open it up, you let it breathe, and then you revisit it.
Exactly. You don't jump the gun. You don't judge it right off the spot. You give it a good 24 hours, and then you get a jobs report like this, a real whopper. It took John Berman's breath away, if that kind of gives you a sense of how bad it was. It's like the Ministry of Truth, the spin doctors in our media, they didn't get the 5 minutes beforehand to really get the talking points, you know? Because the thing about the jobs report is once it comes out, you got to run with it live. And so you can just see the panic on their faces as they deliver all this news. They're using words like unexpectedly and edge down and, huh, how did that happen? It's a miss. It's a giant miss for the Biden administration. But I want to play some of these from yesterday, and I still want to take your calls. I still want to get your take. I also want to talk a little bit about Jen Psaki's recent interview with David Axelrod, because what's being picked up is the fact that she tells Biden not to take questions. And I think you're missing, if that's what your takeaway is from her interview, you missed the real whopper. What she said about the crisis at the border is where she really, really stepped in it. And we will get to that. But first, let's play a little bit of Joey Baby. Cut 7, please.
There was a large shopping center, a school, and the rest, and it was just across a creek, as we say, up in that way.
As we say, cut 8, please.
I know this is going to sound wonky, but it's real, and it affects ordinary Americans' lives like the neighborhoods I come from.
He's got this real obsession with being relatable. The only problem is his version of relatable is stuck in like 1942. So it doesn't translate well at all today. It wouldn't translate anyway because he's such a phony rich. He's a millionaire. You know, he lives a wonderful, beautiful life and he's a millionaire. So it wouldn't translate anyway. And that's fine. I support that. I think it's great when people make money. But it's also the fact that his version of Joe Sixpack is from 1942.
Hey, I wish the jobs report was 23 Skidoo too, but guess what? Here we are.
Hey, you little whippersnapper, that's not how things go nowadays, okay? Come on, man, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Kaiser's gonna eat our lunch. Come on, man.
Cut 9, please.
I think of one thing. I think of jobs. Jobs. Jobs.
J-O-B-S, Jobs.
Are you broken?
He does sound like he's a robot who got stuck. Someone changes batteries. I was just learning to love. He does sound, you know, and there's something about Jobs. He always, whenever he comes across that word, Jared, he always does emphasize it a couple times just to show you that he really cares about Jobs. Donald Trump might care about them and say it once, but Joe Biden says it three times to hammer it home. And I do want to play the cut about China, because if you've been following Joe Biden with China, you might be confused, because a few years ago he said China was not going to eat our lunch. Come on, man. And then recently he said they were going to eat our lunch. And now again, he's back to they will eat our lunch. He's very consistent on the lunch part of this. I'm not as sure where we're at, eating, not eating. But let's play it. Cut 17.
Well, we now do point seven. The Chinese are eating our lunch. They're eating our lunch economically.
They're eating our lunch economically. Maybe it's just time to move on to another expression. Or just, you know, don't use it at all anymore. Can we also play cut 14, Jared?
Because, you know, we had a tax cut the other team put in back in 2017.
I got to hear that again. I'm sorry. I missed the date. I was writing.
Because, you know, we had a tax cut the other team put in back in 2017.
Back in 2017. That was a crazy year, 1927. It's like, I barely remember it. It feels so long ago. Ray, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, Grace. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I was telling you, your screen call, it's like I retired about 6 years ago, and the company I worked for was changing their operation. So they offered me a little golden parachute plan. They were going to pay me severance for half a year. And they told me, before you can collect anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You can collect. I says, well, no, that sounds pretty crazy, but if I can do it, I'll do it. So I live in New Hampshire, so I had to go to Lowell, to the unemployment office there, and get all registered. And I had to go to these meeting things. And it's like, I sit in a room with all these people trying to find a job, you know, half my age, you know. So one day I get up after the meeting was over, and I talked to the person who was running the meeting, and, you know, I says, I'm not really interested in finding a job. I'm retired. You know, if I wanted to stay working, I would have stayed with the company in some capacity other than what I was, but I didn't. I'm retired. See, he looked at me like I had five heads and says, well, you know, just play the game.
Oh, just play the game. Yeah, there's a lot of that happening. Thank you for the call, Ray. There's a lot of playing the game right now. And I think we're in trouble. I do. I know that the economy added 266,000 jobs. People on CNN want you to know that is good. You know, we're still adding jobs. It might be lower. It might be like a million less than expected. But don't let that get you down. That's just details.
Oh, that's going to sound wonky.
I do love the word wonky, though. I can't lie to you. I'm a big fan of the word wonky. I use it a lot. I want to play one more here. Can we get cut 24, Jared?
That's a recipe for disaster.
Now, Jen Psaki says, this is what she told David Axelrod. He takes questions nearly every day he's out with the press. That is true. And you know what? I'm glad Jen Psaki said that, because I want to hammer something home here. The press is worse than Joe Biden. Joe Biden's terrible, don't get me wrong. But the press right now, I'm not asking them to go back to how they were with Donald Trump. That's never going to happen. Donald Trump had a Kevorka with them. They were obsessed with him. He was like an ex-boyfriend who you have a couple glasses of wine and you start talking to everybody in the restaurant about him. And everyone's like, shut up already. They were drawn to him. They still are. So I'm not expecting them to go full hyena on Joe Biden. All right. I just want some of the basic questions to be asked. I just want some of the basic follow-ups, not tough questions, Just questions. What we're getting now is like, Mr. Biden, do you want to tell us how bad you think the Republicans are being to Liz Cheney? Go ahead. The floor is yours. They're just, they're not even questions. They're just statements that he can add on to and go, I agree. It's pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic. And then she says this towards the end. Actually, I think we have sound of Jen Psaki. I didn't think that this was sound, but let's do cut two, Jared.
You're never going to satisfy the White House press corps and their desires for access. And I think there have been mistakes made in the past of trying to do that. If you do a press conference, you know, every other week or once, that doesn't satisfy them. They're going to push for more. That's their job. What we've tried to do, which has also been maddening, I know, for the press corps at times, is kind of not get pulled in by distraction. He likes the press corps and likes that back and forth and that engagement. But what we've tried to do in general, and thinking about how we use his time, is really think about what the public cares about, right? The public cares about the pandemic, the economy.
Is that where it ends? Well, you know what she says after that. She says they care about the public, the economy. You know, when we're often asked, why doesn't he go to the border? Important issue, we're focused on it. What percentage of the public is focused on the border? A much smaller percentage that is focused on the pandemic and the economy. Now, I want to know from you guys, are you focused on the border? Am I the only one? I'm kind of focused on it. I'd like to know where the borders are, Kamala Harris is right now. I'd like to know what we plan on doing with it. Now they keep bragging about how these facilities are, the amount of children has dropped, you know? And the question is, where are they? They're being moved somewhere, but they want to brag now about, like, look at, oh, we used to have 7,000 kids in this facility. Now we only have 300. Those kids were moved somewhere. You know, you're just putting the problem other places. And I don't mean that they're the problem. I do feel bad for the kids. I just mean this isn't a solution. And if the press thinks, or if Jen Psaki thinks that the press is that stupid, then they probably are that stupid because they're not following up on anything. It's pathetic. I want to know from you guys, 844-500-4242. What are you focused on? Is Jen Psaki right? Is no one else focused on the border? Maybe I'm off here. I have had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network, so I can say this with confidence. Nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Since the start of my show in January, Aviva Trattoria has catered a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. We have two VIPs here today. They're awesome, lovely people, and they're enjoying a delicious meal. I just had a slice of the pizza. The margarita pizza is so good. The eggplant milanese that Marcy brought in, delicious. Jared, what have you been eating?
I had the short rib risotto, one of my favorites, and the spicy calamari, which has the hot peppers. It's so good.
All you have to do to sign up is go to gracecurlyshow.com and enter your email. I'll be selecting, I select a winner every other week. So I selected winners last week and I'll select a winner next week. And whenever Marcy comes, she brings in such delicious food and sometimes desserts and just pastas and pizza. It's awesome. So if you want to check them out, they also have four convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford. Takeout is available too. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. We'll be back with your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Wearing a tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Happy Friday, everyone. Thank God it's Friday. A lot of Biden this week. A lot of Biden. Kind of an overload of Biden. I am going to enjoy a cocktail tonight because of all this Biden. But I also wanted to add in, if you're looking for a little Friday reading, my latest piece in Spectator.us is out, and I think everyone would enjoy it. It's about Liz Cheney. I tried to be fair, but I also tried to manage a couple zingers at Jeff Flake, Mitt Romney, Jennifer Rubin. Who else? Who else did I get in there? George Bush. There was a good amount. There was a good amount of rhinos who got mentioned in my latest piece. So please check that out if you have a minute. I would appreciate it. All right, so there's a guy on Twitter that's going viral because he does a Dr. Fauci impersonation, and I think you will really enjoy it. I know a lot of people, you know, don't go on their phones that often anymore. They're not keeping up with the news. But once in a while, there's something really funny. This is a fake Fauci impersonation. Let's do cut 35, please.
I'd say even if you live alone, I would wear a mask in the house, especially in the shower, because frankly, droplets can make the way through the drain and come up through somebody else's toilet, infecting them with COVID.
And then he gives a ballpark, this fake Fauci, for when things are going to get back to normal. Cut 34.
Ballpark in 2 to 5 to 20 years, we can start thinking about considering the idea of pondering the thought of conceptualizing the possibility of maybe, perhaps, reopening, but probably not. I would avoid having any fun whatsoever in the near to far future.
In the near to far future. Can you be more specific, Dr. Fauci? That's the most specific I've ever heard him, actually. Really, really great. And I'm happy he's getting a little pushback, at least, even if it's just from some brave comedians on the Twitter sphere. And speaking of brave, I do want to talk about a reporter who was asking Governor Gretchen Whitmer about her private plane that she took to go see her dad. I talk a lot about how journalism is dead and people get mad at me. And I think it's having a tiny bit of a revival. I think there are some great local journalists who will not stop asking questions. So we're going to play that in a minute. But first, let's go to the calls. Anthony, go ahead. You're next with Grace.
Yes, you're asking a question about people if they're worried about the border. I'm in the trades right now, and anybody who's in the trades knows everything's been pretty good lately. But the illegal immigrants are starting their own businesses in the trades, and they're not playing by all the rules. And some of them that can't play by the rules are getting a little help from the town governments when it comes time to permit for projects and stuff. So let's just be aware. Anybody in the trades, you better be concerned about the border, because your son or your daughter who might be taking your business over in the future isn't going to have a chance to compete.
Well, Anthony, the part of that you just said that really struck me is if you're in the trades, you better be concerned about the border. And it's that kind of the fact that people can't see beyond their immediate life or lifestyle or their immediate the place that they live. They don't think anything's going to affect them. Like, just because you're not in Texas or just because you're not in Arizona, you don't think that this is eventually going to affect how you live. And that drives me crazy. It's the same thing with the suburban moms who hated Donald Trump's tweets. And now their daughters aren't going to get the track scholarship to college because there's a biological man competing against their daughters. Did you think this was never going to affect your life? Did you think that you are secluded from all of these issues and all the side effects of these problems? That's the part of it for me. You're absolutely right. Just because you're not close to the border does not mean that this problem is not eventually going to affect your life. And we will have that Jen Psaki sound in a little bit with her and David Axelrod. Because not only are they here to tell you how great the jobs report is, but they're here to tell you what Americans really care about. It's interesting. They always tell me that. You know, they always say, oh, people aren't concerned about that. And I sit there and go, I'm concerned about it. What about me? Do I not count? Anyway, though, I do want to set this up a little bit. We'll probably end up playing the sound after the break. But Gretchen Whitmer, she was at some infrastructure thing. She had like the hard hat on and the vest, you know, classic politician. I think that was a rule Howie told me once. You don't ever put a hat on if you're in politics and you don't eat in front of the camera. But she's at this event or, you know, whatever, and this reporter is asking her all these questions about the plane and the private plane she took, and she won't answer them. And he seems to be like the only reporter there. And eventually her aide says, can you at least ask something on topic? And he comes back out with another plane question. And all I got to say to it is, can we get this guy a Profiles in Courage Award? Because he's the last honest journalist in America. I have that sound for you. It's great. You definitely want to hear it, so don't go anywhere. We'll keep taking your calls. It's Friday. We're having fun. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Like I said, it's an unexpected day. A lot of headlines that would make you, might take your breath away. You might look at them and go, I never saw that one coming, including China's greenhouse gas emissions exceed rest of developed world combined. You know what I have to say to that? James Taylor, where are you? John Kerry. I think they could definitely get us out of this issue. We're told all the time that, what does Greta say? There's only so much time left. We're told that constantly. But it really doesn't matter how many straws I cut up or, you know, how many hamburgers I sacrifice and I don't eat. China's greenhouse gas emissions exceed the rest of the developed world combined. It almost makes you think, what are we doing?
You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am.
James,
I'll come running.
We need you.
Oh yeah, babe. To see you again.
Get on a plane to China.
Well, we
ASAP.
Now do point 7. The Chinese are eating our lunch.
All John Kerry has to do is call.
And I'll be there.
Can I get out of here, please?
You've got a friend.
You know what, Jared? Just from us playing that, I'm being told that this is no longer a problem. The problem is solved. It seemed like a big deal because it says China's 27% share of emissions surpassed the combined output of the U.S., as well as all 27 European Union member states and India. But we just played a little James Taylor, and the number has dropped, I guess. So you're welcome, everyone, and thank you to James Taylor for once again lowering the Earth's temperature. Now, I did promise a little bit of Whitmer here. And I mentioned earlier this week that the JFK Library was giving her an award for how wonderfully she handled the pandemic. And there's more to the story, though, because I think it was last week she took a private plane to go see her dad, which now, Jared, I believe her dad lives in Florida, correct?
I'm not sure on that.
I got to double check that. But either way, she took the private plane, and one reporter had the gall to actually ask her about this, like an old school gumshoe reporter would do. And the results, my friends, were amazing. Now, before I play this, I want you to keep in mind that Whitmer has on a hard hat and a construction vest type deal. So she's dressed up, she's dressed the part. You know, infrastructure is everywhere, and so is Gretchen Whitmer. And this reporter asks her about her private plane, Cut 39.
Today, Deadline Detroit had a report about, they say that you went to Detroit businessmen to ask for their private plane to go to Florida to visit your dad. I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to that report. I mean, who paid for that trip when you went down to Florida?
I've said everything I'm going to say about my trip to go check on my father. It was a quick trip. It was an important family reason for doing it, and I've got nothing to add.
You have nothing to add, but the reporter has more to say. Cut 40.
The issue is, Governor, that your office has been very secretive about it. And so the question is, why so secretive about it? Why not come public to the public, to Michiganders or Michiganders at school?
We don't discuss my travel. I have received an incredible number of death threats over the last year and a half. There are a lot of reasons that we don't discuss how I travel and when I travel. And that's all I'm going to say at this point.
Now, here's a question. Is that the new thing, though? Like, if I want to go wherever I want to go and I don't want to deal with these restrictions, I can just say it's a safety thing. I don't tell people what I do. I think everybody would love this amount of privacy given to them. But this is my favorite part, okay? Because all of these Democrat politicians, they all have these aides, and they all have all the aides have the same voice. I'm almost convinced it's like one robot and it just goes from one place to the next. But the voices are really high-pitched, kind of sing-songy, And their job is to make sure that the media doesn't have any sort of actual questions answered. So they're always there to try to shoo away the media, and their voices are always, it's these people. It's these people in the Biden White House who go, thank you. Thank you. Please keep moving. Please keep moving. We're all done here. Thank you. Thank you. That's enough. That's enough, Peter. Please leave. It's those people. Gretchen Whitmer has one of those people. Listen to this cut, because the guy does not stop asking. So the assistant asks, do you have any questions on the topic? Cut 33. And Rents and Bridges.
Any of these chair debates on that channel?
I've told you I've said everything I'm going to say about right now.
Do you have any other questions on Roads and Bridges? They hate any sort of real questions. They want to talk complete nonsense. Do you have any questions on human infrastructure? Do you have any questions on patriotism or the JFK Library Award? Stop asking her questions about the plane, because that's all people actually want to know about. All right, now speaking of trying to silence brave people like that reporter, I want to talk here for a second, because I have so much audio to get through today. And I noticed something. There was a woman, there was a mother, and she was talking about critical race theory and how she didn't want her kids to have to be taught that. And that is, a lot of people, I don't have kids. I know a lot of people listening might be a little bit older. Their kids might be grown up. So you don't think, again, you don't think it's an issue that's going to affect you. But what they're brainwashing these young kids with is very scary stuff. And for parents out there who are listening who have young kids, I know this is top of their list. Jen Psaki says that people don't care about the border. Oh, okay. I agree to disagree. But one thing I definitely know people care about is critical race theory. And a lot of parents are fed up. This mother, she's at a school meeting and she gets in front of the microphone and she's crying about critical race theory because she's so upset. She doesn't want to be labeled a racist. Listen to how smug and demeaning Joy Reid is after this cut. Cut 36, please.
Because I do not want critical race theory taught to my children in school does not mean that I'm a racist, damn it.
Actually, it does. It's just another example of Republicans turning kids into a wedge issue, just like their politically motivated attacks on transgender youth who just want to play sports.
Now, that's got to be one of the funniest things I've ever heard. We turn the kids into a wedge issue. What about the kids in cages, Joy? I haven't heard about them in so long. Is it because they're in plastic pods now that we don't care about the kids in cages? We're the ones who turn the kids into a wedge issue. Now that, my friends, is hilarious. And now on that same note, there was a mother and she was speaking at a Fairfax County school meeting, and they took away a merit test, and it was a merit test that a lot of people liked because it was pretty much just a good indicator of, you know, who's very bright and who should be in accelerated classes and all that stuff. And the school took it away. And this mother's fed up. And her name is Azra Nomani. She's actually on Twitter. She's a liberal, I believe. And she's so fed up. And I'm going to play the first cut because she kind of sets up what's happening. But the real cut that I need you guys to hear is the second one, because the school board committee, the way people are starting to talk to people, the way the people in charge are starting to talk to the unwashed, sorry boat people like myself, it makes my skin crawl. It really makes me scared for the state of the country, because these people who are leaders or in charge or who make the rules, they really hate us and they're disgusted by us and they're disgusted by our concerns and our complaints, and they just want us to shut up. So let's first go. This is Azra Nomani. I'm going to play first. Cut 43, please.
And then by the fall, every single one of you voted to remove the merit-based race-blind admissions test to TJ. And we pled with you as Asians, as an immigrant. I came at the age of 4. I knew no English. And you didn't listen to us. And now I sit here listening to this empty proclamations and declarations that you're making about your great value of Asian Americans. You tell us about you going, Melanie Marin, to a Japanese restaurant. Well, do you know that just a few weeks ago in social emotional learning at TJ, our students were told that if they do salsa dancing, it amounts to cultural appropriation, and that they needed to check their racism, and that is our mostly minority, mostly Asian students. And so your empty proclamations are just that.
She goes on. Now, she's talking a lot about not just the merit-based test, but the entire critical race theory agenda, which is to make kids really feel that they're either the oppressed or the oppressor, and there's nothing they can do about it. It's really taking what Martin Luther King Jr. wanted and turning it on its head. You're not judged by the content of your character. You are judged solely on the color of your skin. And let's hear this, cut 41.
And then today, we get this vacuous survey from you, Dr. Brabrand, and you dare to tell us that you're going to consider removing the one policy that parents have to defend their students from indoctrination and activism, the policy that makes certain that anything taught in our school that is controversial must be presented fairly. You have to just think for yourself, if you have to remove a policy like that, how can you possibly be doing anything good? And then this survey, it's just a loaded survey. And who is it by? Indeed, New York Leadership Academy.
You can hear the frustration in parents' voices right now. It's at an all-time high. And I will say on a positive aspect of it, I love how many parents are just getting to the point. You know, and in life, I think a lot of us, like I was talking to you, Jared, about it yesterday. Sometimes you want to post your political opinions, but you go, oh, it's not worth it. I don't want to upset, you know, the company I work for. I don't want to cause trouble. But people will cause trouble for their kids. That is a line that people are very much willing to cross. People will lift cars up for their kids. People will go, you get super dad strength, super mom strength. People turn into mama bears and papa bears when it comes to their kids and their kids' well-being. And I love seeing all these moms tell these school board committees what's going on. Now, this is the real cut. This is the real winner right here. I want you to listen to how this school board committee woman talks to this mother. Now, you just heard all her complaints. They seem fairly valid. You know, if someone told my kid salsa dancing was cultural appropriation, I might speak up at the school meeting. She gets talked to, like, with such disgust by this woman. Cut 42.
What has that survey done? They've asked us the questions for the
Thank
contract.
Thank you for your time.
That you have now signed.
Thank you for your time.
That will allow
Thank
them
Thank you
to
for
spend
your time. Your
dollars.
Time is up, ma'am.
You all
Your time
need
is up, ma'am.
Conscience.
Your time has expired.
Yes, you
your
always
time
want
has expired.
To shut us down.
Next speaker.
Continue to
Next
shut us down.
Next speaker.
Because that's what you love.
Please to go to your seat.
Please go to your seat. I find it amazing that during the Trump era, these Democrats like Keith Olbermann and Joe Scarborough, all these rich white guys especially, they were all so worried about George Orwell, 1984. This is authoritarian. You know, this is The Handmaid's Tale. When you hear that lady on the loudspeaker, I'm surprised they don't have security guards come in and wheel her off and say, get her out of here. Throw her in jail. She's talking too much. She's talking too much sense. That doesn't make you think of 1984. That doesn't make you think of, it's a little scary. It kind of makes my skin crawl. It kind of makes me think we're in a bad spot when that's how people are talked to for just having opinions and valid concerns about their kids' education. We have a lot more audio to get to. I'm not even close to being done. Wait till you hear what the founder of Black Lives Matter is saying now. This is going to blow your mind. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. And Jared, what happens when you open those doors and windows?
Oh, all that green, yellow goodness called pollen rolls in, and it's just miserable. You get the scratchy throat, the runny eyes, your nose is stuffed up, and it's just miserable. And you can take allergy medication, sure, but it doesn't get all the symptoms always, because what you actually need is good air, and that's what the Eden Pure Thunderstorm gives you. It ionizes the air. It makes super oxygen air, so you are breathing clean, good air. It gets rid of allergens. It gets rid of pollutants. It gets rid of viruses, odors, anything nasty in the air. So you're breathing good, clean air. I slept with the window open last night, something I don't always do, but I can do it. Even with my window open, the thunderstorm works.
For pollen, pet, kitchen, musty basements, tobacco, or any unwanted odors, you need the Thunderstorm. And right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com. Radio banner and code word GRACE. We will be back. We'll take some of your calls, 844-500-4242. The Black Lives Matter millionaire is trying to sell books, and this cut is, it's going to make you laugh. It's a good Friday cut. We'll be back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Just chatting with my VIPs. I get the best VIPs. And all you have to do to enter to win is go to gracecurlyshow.com and enter your email. Jared, do you remember Patrice Cullors?
I do indeed.
All right, I want to give people a little rundown. Patrice was the woman, I believe she's a founder or a co-founder of Black Lives Matter. Co-founder of Black Lives Matter. She's been making a lot of money. She claims it's not from Black Lives Matter, wherever it's from. It kind of goes against her whole Marxist vibe. And she bought a house in Topanga Canyon in California. And it's a primarily white neighborhood. It's a very expensive home. And there's been just a few things that maybe make your hypocrite red flag meter kind of go, meh. You know, you get a red alert. Something's not right here. It's like when John Kerry gets on a private plane. You just go, oh, how does that work? But she was talking somewhere and someone recorded it. She's talking to a group of people, and she's talking about her book. And listen to what her book was compared to, Cut 37.
I was at our publications table today, and I was speaking to this young person from Arizona who's trying to fight SB 1070. And I was he grabbed a book, and he said, it's like Mao's Red Book. And I was like, man, that's what I was thinking. And it was just really cool to hear him make that connection. I was like, how about you buy, like, 10 to 15 of these books, and you all have like a youth like organizing group where you talk about it and you really try to engage this, and we can just kind of, we need to build off of this.
All right, now the initial reaction from people was she's comparing her book to Mao's Red Book and she's very happy about this, but the part of it that stuck out to me is the kind of salesman-like pitch at the end. And I said, how about you buy 10 or 15 of these? It sounds very grift-like, if that's the right word.
To quote the great Scooby-Doo,
Let's listen to that one more time. Listen to when she makes the pitch for the, maybe you should buy some of these books.
I was at our publications table today, and I was speaking to this young person from Arizona who's trying to fight SB 1070. And I was, he grabbed a book and he said, it's like Mao's Red Book. And I was like, man, that's what I was thinking. And it was just really cool to hear him make that connection. I was like, how about you buy like 10 to 15 of these books and you all have like a youth like organizing group where you talk about it and you really try to engage this. And we can just kind of, we need to build off of this.
She's a very crafty Marxist.
And I was like, how about you buy like 10 to 15 of these books?
It's like she's selling makeup or something. I have a deal that you don't want to miss. Guys, we will be back with more. Do not go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
And I was like, how about you buy like 10 to 15 of these books?